Life's messy. We're talking spills, stains, pets, and kids.
But with Anababe, you never have to stress about messes again. At washablesofas.com, discover Anababe sofas, the only fully machine washable sofas inside and out, starting at just $699. Made with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics, that means fewer stains and more peace of mind. Designed for real life, our sofas feature changeable fabric covers, allowing you to refresh your style anytime. Need flexibility? Our modular design lets you rearrange your sofa effortlessly. Perfect for cozy apartments or spacious homes. Plus, they're earth-friendly and built to last. That's why over 200,000 happy customers have made the switch. Upgrade your space today. Visit washablesofas.com now and bring home a sofa made for life. That's washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply. Let's be real. Life happens. Kids spill. Pets shed. And accidents are inevitable. Find a sofa that can keep up at washablesofas.com. Starting at just $699, our sofas are fully machine washable inside and out. So you can say goodbye to stains and hello to worry-free living. Made with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics. They're kid-proof, pet-friendly, and built for everyday life. Plus, changeable fabric covers let you refresh your sofa whenever you want. Need flexibility? Our modular design lets you rearrange your sofa anytime to fit your space, whether it's a growing family room or a cozy apartment. Plus, they're earth-friendly and trusted by over 200,000 happy customers. It's time to upgrade to a stress-free, mess-proof sofa. Visit washablesofas.com today and save. That's washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Today on The Dark Side of How Do We Talk About Bill Cosby, a new docuseries wrestles with the downfall of America's dad. An American dentist accused of plotting wife's murder during an Africa hunting trip, and three police officers charged with manslaughter for a little girl's shooting death. Those stories and more today on The Dark Side of.
Sometimes the human mind goes to dark places. Sometimes those dark delusions turn into a reality. A reality so shaded and gray, once all is said and done, the healthy mind is drawn into the documented retelling of these tragic events, trying to find logic, reason, and understanding where there may be none at all. This is The Dark Side of.
That indeed it is. Welcome to the program. If you like the show, press subscribe wherever you download podcasts. Check out our Patreon page. Just go to patreon.com and search Dark Side Of, or download the Patreon app, or go to darksidepod.com. Get advanced episodes of our program, as well as the whole archive. And it's all of it commercial free, so you can binge away if you like the show with no ads. That's how you can do it. Tony and Carol with you on today's episode of the program. And what's going on?
Hey, Tony.
Hey.
Not too much. It's really, really cold here.
Yeah, my yard is completely ice right now.
Yeah, I know. Like, I saw you guys got something like it. Here it just got very cold. Mm-hmm. Nothing else.
It's frozen.
We're in Kansas. Like, I don't think we have weather anymore. Like, we don't have rain. We don't have snow. It just seems like
you're just the desert, a barren lately, desert. Yeah. No, it's like frozen. So Harper dressed up like the character, one of the characters, and was, you know, running around the yard and missed about putting curses on things and made a snowman. And weirdly enough, girl. It talked. Weirdly enough, the snowman started talking because I think she actually learned literal voodoo, and it was exciting. It was a whole new take on Frozen in our front yard.
Only your kid would learn new like voodoo skills.
Voodoo to turn the snowman in to Olaf. It's
it's kid voodoo.
Kid voodoo. Yeah, kid do. She's going to create a whole new YouTube channel called Kid Voodoo and teaching other children how to do voodoo in a real, you know, family friendly, wholesome way, as she likes to say.
I love that about your kid.
Wholesome voodoo. There was a story that we were recording some episodes earlier today, And the way she, there was, it was really kind of a heartwarming one. And I said, what do you think? That was such a wholesome story. And I said, what do you mean by wholesome? She's like, what does wholesome mean? And I said, like, part of this complete breakfast. Like, so you just said that story was part of this complete breakfast. Really? Like, no, no. Like, and I said, actually, the way you used it did make sense. I just didn't know if you, like, really kind of grasped what you were saying. So it's like, I did, Dad.
Because for a minute, your poor daughter was like, oh, my God, did I just get married to breakfast?
I know. I know. She had that kind of look of horror on her face. I like to scare her sometimes. It's fun.
Well, that's what happens when she's your kid.
Oh, my God.
The hand she was dealt.
The comebacks that she was giving me on the shows the other day, I was just like, oh, my God. One example, she suddenly, I threw it to her, and then she just starts like going into some movie trailer for like, or a fake commercial for a sleepover at the Amityville house where you can, it comes complete with a swimming trip to the backyard by the boathouse. And I said, and you jump in and have the time of your life. And then she says, but the boat motor starts.
That's funny.
I know. I'm just like, oh my God. In the background here, I don't know if you're hearing this, but Alexa's like responding to, I don't know what she's responding to.
I could not hear.
But she's like, okay, da-da-da, boat motor, Amityville. Yeah. You know, okay. It's creepy. All right. Let's go into, and by the way, that's on Real Ghost Stories Online, one of our other shows. If you want to find that, she's on the Thursday episodes. My daughter. okay, so this first story, how do we talk about Bill Cosby? A new docuseries wrestles with the downfall of America's dad. I'm interested in seeing this. Showtime's four-part documentary, We Need to Talk About Cosby, premieres at the Sundance Film Festival on January 22nd. Okay, when does it go on Showtime, though? Well, maybe we'll find out. Several years after disturbing sexual assault allegations first surfaced against Bill Cosby, Americans are still grappling with the reality that the once idolized comedian and pioneer in television is not the pillar of morality that people long mortality probably still rings true, because it's like how you're still around after all this is kind of amazing. Long to believe him to be. Directed by Emmy-winning comic and TV host W. Kemo Bell of United Shades of America, Showtime's new documentary series, We Need to Talk About Cosby, explores just that. Bill Cosby has been one of my heroes, Bell narrates in the new trailer for the show. I'm a black man, a stand-up comic. I was born in the 70s, but this was complicated, he adds, referring to the harrowing information brought to light by numerous Cosby accusers. How do we talk about Bill Cosby? To answer his own question, Bell speaks with a lineup of Cosby survivors, cultural commentators, journalists, and comedians. Their interviews and insights, which are spread across four episodes, addresses a complicated process of changing your opinion of a man firmly rooted in American culture. The chronicle of the career reaches a downfall and mass audiences on Sunday, January 30th, when all four episodes will be made available on Showtime. So January 22nd is when it premieres at that festival. The 30th is when you can see it on Showtime. You want to hear the trailer for it?
Yeah, because I think it'll be really good.
It looks really interesting. Let's take a listen to the trailer for it. We need to talk about Cosby.
Do not edit this. A lot of people knew. Because you can't do what he did unless you have other people supporting what you're doing.
Spanish Fly, the girl would drink it, and hello, America.
Bill Cosby had been one of my heroes. I'm a black man, stand-up comic. I was born in the 70s. But this?
More trouble for Bill Cosby.
The accusations just keep coming in.
This was complicated. How do we talk about Bill Cosby?
It's complex, Kamau, you know. Bill Cosby was our teacher.
Kind of center of morality all throughout his career.
Made my grandmother laugh, made everybody in the house laugh.
You can't speak about Black America in the 20th century and not talk about Bill Cosby.
Thank you.
On that set, I saw Black writers, Black directors.
Did you remember what his job was when he was young?
He was a pediatrician.
He was an OBGYN.
Oh, that's right, he delivered babies. Oh my God. You could have been a dentist for crying out loud, but you weren't. Bill Cosby has been leaving breadcrumbs.
It's my barbecue sauce. Deaf people all of a sudden, they get all huggy-buggy.
He was talking about how to drug women.
Beautiful women. They were lined up outside of his dressing room.
What did you think was going on?
He looked at me and he said, "Fooled them again."
You don't often learn that your hero's the worst sorts of villains.
This is just a sad day in the history of Black culture.
It was just like, no, not Bill Cosby.
It's tough being a sister thing.
Even though it scares me,
you know now.
I feel like I have to have this discussion.
Not just on television.
We thought we knew Cosby. We never knew Cosby.
There you go.
See, so the guy who produced that, Bell.
Yeah.
He had a show on CNN.
Yeah.
It was like the United Shades of America.
Yeah, I remember that.
Was
yeah.
the name of it? Something like that.
Yeah.
I really like that show. Like, I think he does really, really great work.
Yeah.
And I think for someone to tackle that, I think it would take the right person.
Sure.
And I think he's the right guy to do that. I think it could be really interesting.
How he's, you know, free, how he's out is amazing to me, and scary as hell.
I don't get it. And like, how weird would that be?
Yeah.
That you did all that. Like, he has to know he did it.
Yeah. He knows he did it. And this is not an excuse by any means. And so I don't want anybody to take it this way. But the fact that he could go on television, I mean, that Spanish Fly interview where he said he's literally talking about drugging women on a fucking television show verbatim. It's not he's like literally talking about it.
So that wasn't like supposedly some joke thing.
No, it was.
I mean, even if it wasn't joke.
He was one of those guys. He was like always telling jokes. So you never quite knew when or what. But it was more like everybody laughed at it like, oh, that's a great idea. That's funny. There was a culture at a time where people could joke about things like that and not. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying it was right, but it was there. It existed. So with him coming up at those times, did he ever truly realize how wrong these things were that he was doing?
I don't think to this day he got it.
And it's not an excuse. I'm just wondering, like, I'm just trying to understand his psychological outlook on all this. Like, is he just of such...
I don't
such,
think you can is, understand that.
Like, when we say things like, oh, they're of a different time, when they say stupid or racist or horrible things, and it's like kind of like a brush off. And I'm not saying like this is a brush off, like, oh, he's from a different time. But literally, is he like just completely, is his mind like operating on a different fucking time zone or different time period? And it just can't be ever moved to realize you can't do that shit?
I wonder with him if there's some dementia, you know, that's really common in people his age.
No, but he was doing this shit forever. I mean, at some point, if in the 60s and 70s, it was more prevalent that this was going on and like totally fucking acceptable or like,
oh, yeah.
I mean, but now it's like, but the thing is, we got into the 90s, we got into the 2000s, we got into the 2010s. He should have fucking known at some point. No. Times have fucking changed.
We talk about these types of people all the time.
Yeah.
And I think somebody like him, so famous, so beloved, he was getting away with whatever he wanted to because he's Bill Cosby.
And that's the thing.
And
like, he never needed to learn.
You're given permission so many times.
Yeah.
And everywhere you turn, people are like, oh, my God, you're Bill Cosby.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, I love you. I'm going to do whatever you need me to do. I want to help you. Everybody's, you know, you can't even go to into a store and people be like, oh my God, you're Bill Cosby.
You have such a life of entitlement that anything is possible and you don't know what's right or wrong.
After a while, you give yourself permission to do whatever you want because everybody wants to do it.
And here's one of the things.
So the women came to my house. They shouldn't have come to my house.
Here's a thing that I think made it super empowering for him. And maybe people are going to go, this is horrible to say that. But I think it's true. His wife knew about this shit. The fact that this wife wasn't like, I'm leaving you, I'm divorcing you.
Oh my God, wouldn't you be way out the door?
That only enabled it. If there's anything that enabled him more than anything else is the fact that she didn't say, what the fuck are you doing? I'm out the door. But the fact she sat by his side and, you know, stand by your man in this case. And it's like, no, you don't fucking stand by that. And I'm not blaming her for it, but it was a total enabler. And the fact that she's still there, it's like, you're at this point like a co-conspirator in this fucking case, because you knew your husband was doing this sort of shit and you still stood by him. Fuck you. You're party to crime at that point.
It's hard to really, really judge her because I don't know a damn thing about her. But, you know, there's women of that age, and that's just what they did, like in the 60s. Many people who, you know, because when I was a kid, my parents divorced. I only knew one other kid whose parents divorced. And it was like a stigma.
But when your husband's doing,
I was so afraid people were going to make fun of me because my parents were divorced. Now it's unusual if your parents are still married to the same person they started out with.
Yeah.
Now that's not an excuse, but I do think that could play into it. But then she's got all this money. Yeah. She's married to Bill Cosby, so she's got all kinds of privilege.
Yeah.
And then does she want to be the one to? I don't think she would have took him down, but she could have left.
That's the weird thing about it, though. But why would she not? Why would she not raise the fucking alarm on this? Walk away with fucking millions of dollars and be the hero in this whole thing.
Do you think, I mean, we all know people who have been in relationships. It's like, don't you see it? And they stick with them and they stay with them, and it's so dysfunctional.
There
and
is
wrong.
To a certain point, but I'm sorry, this like just goes to such a weird depth.
Yeah.
You know, and they were philanthropists and this and that. It's not like they were living in this weird.
To see if it'll stick. I don't
know. No, they were not like those, like, they were not like living in a coal in the ground and like just, you know, sitting there. Like, they were really portraying this image. And then it turns out, like, holy shit. Like, what the fuck? I don't know. Like, it's just, I don't know. It's not her fault that he did what he did, but it is, there is some culpability that goes along with being an understanding of being aware of a crime and never reporting it, or a pattern of crimes.
Theory, once again, I'm just throwing it out there.
Yeah.
Do you think that maybe there's something about her that she's got her own secret life?
That's what I'm wondering.
She's secretly a lesbian and she doesn't want anybody to know.
I don't know. I'm wondering about why was that? Why did she never be the red flag waver? Why did she not be a hero to human beings and say, this is fucking wrong? Because she's a philanthropist in all these other areas. Why the fuck would you not be in that area when you know your husband's doing these things?
You know, we've talked about abused women before.
I get, but I'm like, this is a different category of it.
If he did that to those women, what might he have been doing to her?
Well, maybe.
Was he drugging her and having sex with her?
Well,
did he have a bunch of compromising photographs?
I that's the thing. I don't know. Like, that's what I'm wondering. There's so many different ways that could go. Is it a blackmail, like you can't say this because of that? Is it I'm too intimidated? Is it I have my own secrets that I'm doing my own devious? I mean, there's just so many things that you could throw into that blank that you just don't know. But it's just too weird that there's this whole still stand by the guy thing going on. And it's I don't know. I think it goes deeper. I don't know if we'll ever know the full story there, but it just feels like why don't we know more about that part of all this? You know, the person.
I'm with you. It makes no sense.
There just seems like there's a lot more.
And then, you know, it would be so weird too if you're Bill Cosby and somebody makes a documentary called How Do We Talk About Cosby? And it's like, that's made about you.
I know.
And I think he's just like so not even in reality these days.
No.
Like, I think for years he wasn't anyway. I think that he thought these women came to his house and that's just what happens. Yeah. And that's what you do.
Yeah.
And they somehow asked for it or something. I don't know how people like that live with themselves, but somehow he didn't.
Although I got to say this, after when he was released earlier in the year, Felicia Rashad made that post.
Oh, that was fucked up.
Seriously, we were all kind of feeling bad for you. We're all kind of thinking like, you had an amazing career. You should not be stained by this man. And you're still standing by him. Like, what the fuck? Like, for the love of God.
And that was really insensitive because of all those women who spoke out. It totally dismissed them in a very public way. And it was, and if you're dismissing what they're saying, you're basically accusing them of all lying.
I know. It's like you were a spokesperson. You were a leader. You're like, what the fuck is this?
Here's the deal.
Yeah.
She didn't have to say anything.
Exactly. I know. And the thing is, the funny part is when I...
Just leave it. If anybody wants a comment, just say something vague like, you know, I don't know why, how, whatever.
Yeah. Here's the funny part about all that. When I was... the funny part of it, situationally, when I read that story, I was in Walt Disney World. I was at the Animal Kingdom. And there's a ride called Dinosaur or something. And when you go on it, there's a big intro video, and the person who's playing like the scientist leader of the company is Felicia Rashad. And this video is probably circa like 1992, but they still use it to this day. And I'm sitting there like watching it like, oh, it's the mom from the Cosby Show. And I get like my ding on my phone of like news, and it's like Felicia Rashad says that.
Like, that's really weird. I'm
like, what the fuck?
That's really weird.
Yeah. I'm like, okay, well, that's just random timing there. Let's go to our next story. American dentist accused of plotting wife's murder during African hunting trip, because what better time? Yeah. A dentist and big game hunter is accused of killing his wife on a hunting trip in Zambia so he could collect millions of dollars in life insurance benefits. Lawrence Rudolph, 67, is charged with foreign murder and mail fraud in the 2016 death of his wife, Bianca Fienzo Rudolph. People confirms the story is from People. In a federal criminal complaint obtained by People, prosecutors allege that Lawrence, who owns dental offices known as Three Rivers Dental in Pennsylvania, killed his wife. Had her quickly cremated in Africa, and then once back in the U.S., collected nearly $5 million in life insurance money, claiming her shooting death was accidental, and then went back to work at Three Rivers Dental. Fridays, free fillings. This is an outrageous prosecution against Dr. Larry Rudolph, a man who loved his wife of 34 years and did not kill her. Lawrence's attorney, David Oscar Marcus, said in a statement obtained by People back in 2016, his wife had a terrible accident during a hunting trip in Zambia. The investigators on the scene concluded it was an accident. Several insurance companies also investigated and agreed. Now, more than 5 years later, the government is seeking to manufacture a case against this well-respected and law-abiding dentist. Dr. Rudolph looks forward to his trial, where he'll demonstrate his innocence. According to the criminal complaint, the couple traveled to Zambia in the late of September 2016, so Bianca, a big game hunter, could hunt a leopard. They were getting ready to leave their hunting camp in Kufi National Park on the morning of October 11, 2016, when Bianca was shot in the chest with a Browning shotgun. Lawrence alleged, and it was actually held by a leopard.
Good. I don't know. That did not just come.
Leopard comes back. Lawrence allegedly told the local police that he heard the gunshot while he was taking a shower, and he found his wife on the bedroom floor bleeding from the chest. Lawrence told the Zambian police he suspected the shotgun had been left loaded from the hunt the previous day and that the discharge occurred while she was lying or trying to pack the shotgun into its case, the complaint alleged. Zambia law enforcement ruled her death as an accidental discharge, but federal authorities were not convinced. According to the complaint, the consular chief at the U.S. Embassy in Zambia told the FBI he had talked to Lawrence about cremating his wife's body. He had a bad feeling about the situation, which he thought was moving too quickly. As a result, he traveled to the funeral home with two others from the embassy to take photographs of the body and preserve any potential evidence, the complaint alleges. He told investigators that Lawrence was livid when he discovered the consular chief had gone to see his wife's body and taken photographs. A friend of Bianca's told authorities on October 27th, 2016, that she wanted the FBI to investigate her friend's death because she suspected foul play, claiming that Lawrence had cheated on his wife and had been having an affair at the time of her death. Friend said Lawrence had been verbally abusive in the past and that the two had had fights about money, the complaint states. Friends also said she believed the cremation to have been against Bianca's wishes because Bianca was a strict Catholic who had once expressed disapproval that a friend's husband was cremated. Similarly, the friend stated Larry is never going to divorce her because she doesn't want to lose his money, and she's never going to divorce him because of her Catholicism. In addition to the evidence and motive, the insurance proceeds, and the possible desire to live openly with a girlfriend, additional evidence gathered during the investigation supports the conclusion that there is probable cause to believe that Bianca Rudolph did not die by accident and was rather killed by Lawrence Rudolph, the complaint alleges. In filing by Lawrence's defense attorneys, they wrote that Bianca did want to be cremated. The agents believe that Dr. Rudolph cremated his wife's remains to destroy evidence was proven false as her expressly directed cremation, the filing states. Additionally, the government's connection that Dr. Rudolph plotted to escape rigorous scrutiny to maintain control of the evidence is flatly false. The Zambian investigators who ruled the death accidental maintain that Dr. Rudolph did nothing to improperly influence the investigation or to obstruct justice. Authorities also said that Bianca could not have shot herself with that type of shotgun because of its long barrel. The Colorado medical examiner opined that it would be physically impossible to accidentally fire this shotgun in its carrying case and produce the entrance defect noted on the body of Ms. Rudolph, the complaint states. Further, it would be extremely difficult, if not impossible, for Ms. Rudolph to reach the trigger of this weapon, even if it was placed in the case with the muzzle pressed against her chest. An arrest warrant was issued for Lawrence December 22nd. He was indicted in early January in Colorado, where the insurance companies involved based, according to the Charlotte Observer. Lawrence's base is pleading not guilty to the charges against him. His trial is scheduled for February 28th. There you go.
Well, you know, it kind of connects to the first story. Like, why does the wife stay with the husband? You know, he's super abusive and all that. It's like, oh, well, she's Catholic, doesn't believe in divorce.
There's money.
You know, exactly. Yeah. So maybe there's some of that happened to Bill Cosby and his wife. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I just think that's like really sick and twisted too. And maybe at the same time, it's like, aha, I've stumbled upon the perfect crime. I'll be out of the country.
Yeah.
And, you know, and this can all move much faster than it would in the U.S. And they're going to believe me because they're probably stupid over there.
Yeah.
Because that happened what year? That was a while. Didn't you say like 2016?
Yeah, it was.
I did get hung up on his lawyer, Oscar Marcus. Because I kept thinking like his brother's Oscar Meyer. I missed about a minute of that story thinking.
Just being stuck on Oscar Meyer.
Marcus.
Yeah.
What a weird name. Oscar Marcus.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like that's pretty twisted though. But if they were having money problems, it's always follow the money.
Yeah.
Having money problems and he can get $5 million. And he gets all the sympathy because she's dead. Whoops, it was a horrible accident. I've got $5 million and a new girlfriend.
Yeah. Although at the same point, I mean, if your spouse, you know, died in some sort of horrible accident and you're in kind of that really, you know, sad grieving mode, I think it would be really insulting if the insurance company starts like sending private investigators around to, I mean, assuming you were innocent, assuming nothing was, false or a lie, assuming it really was an accident, but you're like really, like,
but I think when there's a claim like that kind of money, $5 million, yeah, they're going to investigate it.
And naturally you probably have to, but I think it would just kind of feel, I mean, no matter what, cause you're not going to be thinking correctly, that I think it would be very easy to be like, kind of, you know, on your edge and like, are you fucking serious? Like I'm going through and now this, you know,
I don't know. Like when I have really grieved before, mm-hmm, I think I'd have been kind of like, do whatever you got to do. Like, yeah. I didn't do anything.
I think everybody does it differently. Like some would be more angry. Some will be more like passive. Some, it just kind of depends how you are.
Cause everybody grieves differently. And so, you know, I could see it be like, I get it. Like it's a lot of money. I had nothing to do with it. Absolutely investigate it.
Yeah.
And really, if you didn't do it, it's not about the money. Uh-huh. Most people wouldn't even go, oh yeah, I've got $500,000 policy on my wife. Cha-ching.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I think if your wife died tragically, I don't think one of the first things you'd even think about would be the life insurance.
Well, you'd hope not.
Because especially like, you got to get her home and in his case, cremate her first.
Yeah.
And, you know, like there's just so many other things going on.
Yeah.
That I think sometimes some of that happens in the background. They're kind of checking it out and you don't even know it.
Yeah.
But I get why they would, especially if it's something that, you know, she was shot accidentally. Mm-hmm. You got to investigate that.
You do.
And that's... I think if you, I'm telling you, Tony, if you take a big like life insurance policy out on one of your friends like me and I suddenly die, I'm just telling you that could happen. They might look at
you. They might look at you. Can you do that? Can you literally take life insurance policies out like on people without them knowing it?
I don't know.
Is that like a thing?
I don't know.
Oh my God. It's like playing lottery. It's like friend
right
lottery.
The Dateline episode.
That'd be interesting. It's like friend lottery. Well, they've been making some bad decisions lately. Let's see if we can get a multi-$1 million policy on Ned.
Well, and if you can't, that's kind of discrimination. If I'm single, you know, that's not right. I should be able to get somebody's life insurance when they die. Right?
Weather brought to you by Cash for Friends. Our friends at Cash for Friends give you the chance to make some money when your friends kick it. Got a friend who's making bad choices? CashForFriends.com. Black talk, let's talk, Sunny 95. I'm Bo Jackson today, and you know what? We got a lot of live broadcasts coming down over at... Cash for Friends gonna be on this weekend. You come on down, spin the wheel, oh friends, and oh my gosh, she may get an extra bonus like a Sunny 95 keychain or a can koozie or maybe even a CD single or something, depending on what you land on that board when you, of course, first place your bid on a Cash for Friend. Who dies first? You make the money. Oh. Who would not want to get some money when their friend kicks it? I know I got plenty of friends. Hell, I got family members, and I'm like, I may even try and speed up the process if I get the chance. You don't want to miss out on that. Billy Ocean on Sunny 95. Oh, she is. You know, it's also awesome making money when your friends kick it. She dashed by me in Wendy on jeans. That's how you fucking do it.
Oh my God, that made me laugh. And Billy Ocean going on in the background. That was perfect.
Oh my God. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Dark Side Of. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become a Dark Sider. Sign up over at Patreon.com. Oh, can I turn off Billy Ocean?
No, you don't.
There we go. Sign up over at Patreon.com / Dark Side Of, or search Dark Side Of on the Patreon app, or go to DarkSidePod.com. Get access to all of our episodes in advance. As well as all sorts of extras for you. No commercials. It's all there for you, the full archive as well. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to The Dark Side Of.
Life's messy. We're talking spills, stains, pets, and kids. But with Anabae, you never have to stress about messes again. At washablesofas.com, discover Anabae sofas, the only fully machine washable sofas inside and out, starting at just $699. Made with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics, that means fewer stains and more peace of mind. Designed for real life, our sofas feature changeable fabric covers, allowing you to refresh your style anytime. Need flexibility? Our modular design lets you rearrange your sofa effortlessly. Perfect for cozy apartments or spacious homes. Plus, they're earth-friendly and built to last. That's why over 200,000 happy customers have made the switch. Upgrade your space today. Visit washablesofas.com now and bring home a sofa made for life. That's washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply. Tired of spills and stains on your sofa? WashableSofas.com has your back. Featuring the Anabae Collection, the only designer sofa that's machine washable inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly prices. That's right, sofas start at just $699. Enjoy a no-risk experience with pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and changeable slip covers made with performance fabrics. Experience cloud-like comfort with high-resilience foam that's hypoallergenic and never needs fluffing. The sturdy steel frame ensures longevity, and the modular pieces can be rearranged anytime. Check out washablesofas.com and get up to 60% off your Anabae sofa, backed by a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not absolutely in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping or restocking fees. Every penny back. Upgrade now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.